As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
One more goal and Bunny Shaw would be in the history books. Cue the Manchester Derby at the Etihad.
It's Bunny Shaw!
So let's hear from the player herself. What's Bunny thinking when she scores? What does she work on most in training? What's her relationship like with her teammates? I'm Sophie Penny, and from The Athletic, this is Full Time Europe. Later, we'll be speaking with Raphael Honigstein about Bayern's big win over Wolfsburg to all but clinch the Bundesliga title.
The Bayern mentality is very much, let's not just try and win a couple of things, but let's go out and absolutely crush the opposition and win everything.
But first, we've got something special for you today. The Athletic's women's football reporter, Charlotte Harper, went to Manchester to speak with Bunny Shaw. After Shaw's goal at the weekend in City's 3-1 derby win over United, she's now broken the Manchester City women's goal-scoring record with 68 goals. We're going to play you that interview with Shaw in a second, and Charlotte is with me now. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, Sophie.
It's a brilliant interview, and I can't wait for everyone to hear it. Before they do, Charlotte, set the scene for us. Where were you and why did you want to speak to Bunny Shaw at that moment?
So I went up to Manchester. It was really sunny, a lovely sunny day, which I was not expecting for stereotypical Manchester. Went to the Etihad campus and spoke to Bunny in their indoor football arena. It was a commercial and a media day for the players, so they have different responsibilities. And I wanted to speak to Bunny because I knew she was close to breaking Manchester City's women's goal-scoring record and just wanted to talk through her actions. And that's what my game, in my words, is all about. I pick a selection of the 68 goals that she scored. I make a playlist and we chat through them. And player voice is really central to the piece. So I loved it. Like, this is the best part about my job. One of the best parts is just being among top athletes and listening to them and hearing what makes them tick.
You can tell she loved it as well from the way she reacts.
Well, we had 30 minutes, which sounds like quite a long time. But when you're talking about 68 goals, obviously I didn't play all 68. Time flies quite quickly. And Bunny, at the end of the interview, is like, okay, what else? What else? Just clicking on the laptop, going through the goals. And the press officer came over and said, Bunny, time's up. You've got to go. You've got another commitment. She's like, no, I want to see more goals. But yeah, she was great. Really fun interview.
Tell us a bit more about her journey and how she got to this stage for people who don't know as much about her background.
She went over to the US to play college football and actually played midfield before that and then was striker. And then she came over to Bordeaux in the French League, tore it up in the French League, was the league's top goal scorer as well, and then moved to Manchester City in 2021. She'll have been 3 years this summer. and making waves in the English league as well. And that's really impressive when you can replicate that goal rate in different leagues. I think that's a sign of a really good striker.
Yeah, and she is the WSL top scorer right now, 17 goals in 16 games. And if anyone's wondering why we're calling her Bunny instead of her first name, Khadija, it's her nickname. Everyone uses it. It was given to her by her older brother because of her love of carrots. So just a fun fact there. Right, let's have a listen. You start by talking to Bunny about her big goal in Man City's 1-0 win against Chelsea in the WSL. That goal gave them real hope of challenging the reigning champions for the trophy. And she also speaks about her work with Jess Park, the star of the recent Manchester derby.
Leopold's. Now Cuthbert. Oh, she's been robbed by Park. And here is a great chance for Shaw. And she's done it.
When we press the way we know we can press, not only do we win possession, but we're higher up to score. And I think me and Jess have been working on or pressing and communicating before the game in training. We communicate a lot. This scenario happened in training already, so we spoke about it. But that was all Jess in that moment. And when she picked the ball up, I was just in her ear, drive, drive, because there's something that we spoke about in training. Drive, 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 drive. And she played a perfect pass. I took a touch. I knew Carter was on my left, so I wanted to make an extra touch. So if she even made contact, it's a penalty. So I took the extra touch to get into the box, and then I waited for the keeper to come. So I just lobbed it over in the corner. So that was the whole process.
You know the goal already. I don't need to show it to you.
Yeah. It's fresh in my brain.
Bam.
Yeah.
Why did you go with the outside of your right foot?
Because I feel like if I went with my left, Carter was already on my left. So if I put my foot back, maybe my leg would have touched her and it would have threw me off.
Okay.
So because I know the keeper was going to come and she was going to close the angle, if I use my left, I would have to put it extra wide and I didn't want to miss the goal. So I know that if I lobbed it over, because she's going to already come and commit. So I know that if I lobbed it over and put it on target, it was going to score.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Huge game against Chelsea.
Yeah.
Big game, big goal. Do you live off that
pressure?
Yeah, I love
the big games. I love the big games. I think it gets me. The hype, the atmosphere, the build-up, everything in these games just get me pumped and just ready to go. And you know, for me, that was my first goal against Chelsea as well. So it was my first goal against Chelsea in the league. So yeah, and it was an important goal. So it helped the team at the end of the day. So yeah.
Oh, picked up here by Bunny Shaw. And Manchester City take the lead. Well, perhaps a lack of concentration at the back for Liverpool.
Another part of your work that Gareth has praised you for is your work rate, mm-hmm. and that press and that aggressiveness and actually off the ball. Talk me through here. What are you thinking when the goalkeeper plays that ball? This is against Liverpool.
What I think I've gotten to the point where I invite that pass. So I almost look like I'm not interested, but I want it. It's not. I think it's the third time I've won the ball here. It happened against Spurs. It happened against Liverpool, and it happened against another team. I don't remember, but I almost like make them feel like they can make that pass. So in my head, I'm like, okay, go on. And in this game, if you played it back, I'm actually looking at the defender.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I'm looking at the defender. But in my head, I'm like, okay, go on, make that pass. Yes, G. Make that pass, G. So I invite that pass. So I think it's something that I've worked on in my head. It's almost like playing a game. And as soon as they put their head down, that's when I go. In my head, once she put her head down, she already committed to make that pass. So then I know, okay, I can get a step ahead of them. So I think that's just something I've been working on in my head, that go on, I invite that pass. So then even if I don't win the ball, I at least know I make pressure, which then could throw them off or something like that. But yeah, guys have spoken to me a lot off the ball.
That's
and I think
said.
It's just about me being more aggressive. I'm a natural aggressive player, not that I want to be, but because of my physicality. And he just told me to embrace it. And because sometimes I get a bit frustrated when it's not a fall, but it's because it's probably how physical, I'm just naturally physical. It comes off as a fall. But if it was probably another player, it wouldn't be a fall. So he would just always tell me to that, embrace it and just keep working on it and just try to do the bits that I can. And I think in training, I work on it with the girls sometimes, ain't gonna lie. But yeah, I think it's just like me knowing that that's one of my strengths, and I know that when I'm doing that and I'm helping the team at the top, you know, the ones behind, it definitely encouraged me as well to keep going. So yeah, it's just one of my strengths that I know I'm good at. So
your job is to score goals. There was no chance that you were squaring this to Kelly, was it?
You know, she didn't even call me, you know. That's another thing. Sometimes even Chloe tell me to be more selfish. But honestly, I don't even see Chloe, to be fair with you. But yeah, Chloe sometimes always tell me that sometimes I'm too kind in terms of, like, I want to square the pass when I should take the shot. But in that moment, she didn't even say anything. So yeah, when I won that ball, I was definitely going straight to goal for sure.
People have said Chloe really helped you settle into Manchester when you first moved.
And when everyone came in, obviously you meet everyone or whatever. And Chloe was just like, I love Jamaican food. And I'm looking at her like, but you know, it's easy to just say, oh, I love Jamaican food. And I'm like, I was like, okay. And she was like, oh, I could take you to a Jamaican restaurant. And I'm like, in my head, oh, she's definitely serious. And I was like, okay, go on then. And then as we were driving in the car, she started playing Jamaican music. And I'm like, so I'm texting my friend like, listen, this is weird, but Chloe, something's wrong with her, you know? And she was just like, what you mean? And I was like, while we're in the car, you know? And we got to the Jamaican restaurant, and in my head, I'm like, go on, let me see what you're going to order. And when I hear her speaking, oh, she want plantains, and I'm like, oh my God, wow, it's crazy. But everyone, I tell Chloe 60% Jamaican. I tell this in every interview, and I truly believe it. But yeah, I get along really well with Chloe. Yeah, I think she's class off the field as well. So, yeah.
Nice.
Shaw hooking goalwards and making amends for the penalty miss almost instantly. Beauty, a beauty of a goal from Bunny Shaw.
Once the ball bounced, in my vision, I saw the goalkeeper. So I said the only way I was going to get to goal is try to put it over her. And yeah, I tried to chip it and it went in. So
it's class finish. Like, your technique is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I'll see this in other clips as well, like your hip mobility
to
get that swerve. Do you work on that?
Gym is one of my favorite things. I do enjoy the gym, and I remember Usain Bolt came to one of our games, I think Chelsea, at home last year, and I was telling him like some of the things that I would want to work on and some of the areas that I was weak, and he just gave me a little few pointers, and then I came back and I tried to do it in the gym, and then I see it working on the field, and I was like, okay, this is actually working, oh my God. And I just stuck at it, and I try to maintain my strengths and work on my weaknesses in the gym. And I think my hips and my adductors and some of those areas I try to spend more time on.
Did Usain say, hey, try this exercise? Or?
No, it was just like, for example, I have a pelvic tilt. And he had a back problem as well when he was in track and field. And he was just trying to tell me, strengthen your back as well as your core. And he was saying that, like, when you have a strong core and your back, it helps you to maintain your posture for longer when you're running. So I just worked on that, and I see it working on the pitch, and yeah, I was just happy that I took his advice, and here we are.
But it will be the left foot of Greenwood to swing this in. Arm is raised, in it comes. Shaw attacking it and scoring. Bunny Shaw with the header. Bunny Shaw with a hat-trick.
In this game, Alex was telling me, gee, because I have a very good relationship with Alex as well. So in this moment, just before she was kicking the ball, she was telling me, come across, come across. And I was like, shut up and just let me be. Just put the ball. I promise I'm going to get there. Because that's how we are. We drive each other. We hold each other to very high standards. Like, if you're out there and if you hear us, you think like we hate each other, but that's just how we hold each other accountable in games. So in this game, she's like, gee, get over. I'm like, just put the ball, I'm gonna get there. But like I said, I have a good relationship, and I know sometimes where she's gonna put the ball, she knows where I'm gonna be. And I think I asked Leila to create like a block for me so that I was able to go free, and then she crossed the ball and I scored, and then she was like, okay, G, okay, I hear you. So yeah, I remember this. But I think like in the beginning when I started playing, being a striker, I wasn't really, because I was a midfielder before. So it wasn't until I got to college that's when I became a striker. It wasn't all my time. But I was a bit scared because I always see like crazy stuff happening, head concussions and ball and all those stuff. So I was a bit scared. And I think sometimes heading comes with confidence. You head to when you see a score and you're like, okay, maybe I can continue doing it. And then I think with my height and my physicality, that just gives me an edge. But yeah, in this game, I remember me and Alex was going at it and then I scored and then she was like, okay, Adrie, it's all you. But yeah, I remember this.
And also, like, your run is very direct. Like, you're pretty much not sprinting, but going at a pace to get to that ball.
Yeah, because it depends on who's on the ball as well. So if it's Alex or Chloe, I know it's going to be a quick whip. So I have to get on my bike to get in the box or else they're going to be on me, just as though if they don't give me a good ball, I'm going to be on them. So
it's good to Shaw. It's a second. Another cross from the left-hand side and Bunny Shaw was there again.
Next one, your Spurs hat-trick as well. The two very similar goals. Talk me through your movement here and getting away from those defenders.
So with this one now, obviously we don't have a lot of numbers in the box. And I practice this a lot in training where I try to make one movement, but I know at the end of the day I'm trying to create the space for my second movement. And I remember I scored this and I looked to the bench and the assistant coach, Sean, because we work on it so much in training, was like, because it's literally the perfect scenario that we spoke about. And I think sometimes if you don't get it on the first movement, you normally get it on the second one and you create the space for yourself sometimes. That's why I was so happy because I was like, yes, it worked.
You have focused on your physique and there's, you know, no denying that pace and power, but your technique, your tight ball control, I don't think people have focused enough on that. And there's a clip at the end where you're assisting Yui, but your hold-up play is so good and allows players...
Yeah.
To flourish around you. Has that been an improvement since you came from Bordeaux?
Definitely. I think confidence as well. But my hold up play comes in two different situations. When a player touch tight to me, that's the best feeling for me because I can easily roll them. So once I feel you, it's the game over for me. That makes me happy. But what I find now is that sometimes they give me space. So as the ball is coming in, sometimes I check to see if I have space. If I have space, sometimes I take the extra touch to then try to find my 8 or my 10. If they come tight, I just roll them and play. One of the games, United, at home, ball came in, the player came touch tight, the center back, I took a touch and then rolled her and played it to Hempo. Hempo played it to Chloe. Chloe scored. So it's just, I think, depends on the situation and the type of movement. And yeah, I just think, like I said, for me, with my body, I think once I try to put my body in between you, the person and the ball. And I know once I'm in between, there's no way in earth you're going to get the ball. And I think that comes with confidence and something that I've seen happen over and over and over and over again. So I think I've just worked on it. And that's, again, one of my strengths as well.
Tissier, putting under pressure there by Buddy Shaw. They've got a third. A gift. And Bunny Shaw was able to take it.
Manchester Derby press against Mary Earps. How satisfying was this one?
Very. I just said I'm going to go for it. When she receives it and she's playing back, despite the pace or however it comes, I'm just going to go because I just came on the pitch. She received. If it was me, I would have played it back one time, but she took a touch. It was under her feet, and then she played a softer pass. No, I've seen that she played a softer pass. In my head, I didn't see Mary as yet. So as I'm running on, I've seen her. So I said, okay, I'm not going to jump. I'm just going to leave a leg because I was close. It was almost like I'm more closer to the ball than her at this moment in time. If she was closer, maybe I would have jumped. But because I'm closer and she's running straight onto it, it makes no sense. I jump, I just leave my leg because I'm closer.
What did you think when that went in?
I was watching it too and I was like, yes, in my head. Because we warmed up at that corner And the fans over there was giving us pure stick, and Chloe was like, I love this. Like, in the warm-up, she's like, come on, I love this, I love this, I love this. So when I scored, that's why I went over there, and I was like, okay, what are you going to say now? So that was the celebration. And then, no, we had a celebration, Chloe, yeah.
What's the celebration?
I went to the PFA Awards. Davida performed this. I came back. I practiced it. I asked Chloe, how did I look? She said, I look great. She, on the day, she said, if either one of us score, we're going to perform it. Completely forgot. She came. She reminded me, start doing it. Bam. Viral. I think it got like a million views or over a million views or something. So, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You're listening to Full Time Europe from The Athletic.
I really enjoyed listening to that, and you can read the full interview out now on The Athletic, My Game in My Words with Bunny Shaw. Charlotte, for me, what stood out was her relationship with Chloe Kelly and Alex Greenwood and how they all hold each other accountable for everything they do. You know, if Chloe or Alex's cross isn't good enough, Bunny will let them know. If Bunny doesn't make the right movement, they'll tell her. Everything that she learned from Usain Bolt as well about what to work on in the gym and strengthening her back as well. So many great nuggets. What stood out to you from that interview?
I think just her presence. We talk about her presence on the pitch, but off the pitch as well. Like when she came into the indoor football arena, like big smile, booming voice, and Alex Greenwood was actually next door to us doing an interview, and I was thinking Alex is going to get distracted here because Bunny is such a larger than life.
You do hear her at one point, don't you, saying make the pass.
Yeah, that was really nice as well. So when Alex finished, Bunny was talking about, you know, willing the defense to make that pass so that she can press, and that kind of predatory instinct that she has. And so that interaction between Alex and Bunny was really nice as well. But, you know, Bunny, she has Bunny on the back of her shirt. She requested that. You know, not many people will just be named by their first name as a kind of icon almost, like Beyonce. You know, there's single name people that you just recognize by their first name. And she lights up a room, the sense of fun, that's what I got as well. But in contrast to that, she is serious. She is a hard worker. She said she loves the gym. If you were to hear Alex Greenwood and Bunny on the pitch, you'd think they'd hate each other. That's what she said. She says she gets really hard on herself in training, screaming, yelling. You'd think she's crazy, but that's just how she is. So that, you know, light and shade of that personality as well of, yeah, have a bit of fun, but at the end of the day, her job is to score goals. She knows that and she means business.
I loved hearing about the precision of it as well. You know, she waits till the defender puts their head down to make the pass before she runs to make the intercept. And just those fine details that they work on day in, day out. And also how they work to build those relationships with each other. And one of the relationships I wanted to point out was the one she mentions with Jess Park, who obviously shone in the Manchester Derby, two goals, one assist. It's quite a recent partnership because Jess Parker's been given the chance to shine with Jill Ward being out with an ACL injury. What do you make of that new partnership we're seeing?
It's interesting because they haven't played that often together because Jill Ward was playing that position. And so a lot of those kind of assists and movements, pressing as a unit, you know, it's hard to get that straight away. And sometimes you do need to be on the same page, and that only comes really with playing with each other. But Jess and Bunny seem to have a very good relationship. She said, you know, a big focus of this season has been pressing out of possession. They practice it in training. Jess and Bunny practice it specifically together, and also communication. And sometimes communication is, you know, vocal communication is key, but also body language. And I think Jess Park's angled no-look assist to Bunny Shaw at the weekend, that was class from Jess Park, but also showed that, you know, almost a kind of telepathic synergy between the two. And, you know, they're pressing. They do it in very different ways. They're very different players, even from a physique. Jess is like a terrier on the pitch, nipping at the heels. And Bunny alludes to this in My Game and My Words, of how Gareth Taylor said, embrace your physicality. Your physicality is a strength. Embrace it. Be a naturally aggressive player. She says, I'm a naturally aggressive player and I can use that to my strength. So two very different players, but together are very effective.
I think it's to Manchester City's credit that they could form that relationship so quickly. And that does count towards the end of the season when you do have more players out injured, and it could be a key factor in determining the title race. Are Manchester City the favourites for the title? Chelsea are still in four competitions. Manchester City are only in the WSL. Who's your money on? I know it's cliche, but I have to ask.
I'll humour you, Saif. I said Chelsea from the start of the season. I'm still sticking with them just because of that winning experience. You know, City haven't won the league since 2016, and it's going to go down to the wire. I think it really will go down to the last day. And, you know, can City hold their nerve? They're going to feel the pressure as well, because they will push Chelsea so far. But will I come to kind of regret my stubbornness? Because, yeah, you know, Manchester City are only, they're only competing on one front. So in theory, you think Chelsea have way more games in terms of player loading, injuries, etc. Emma Hayes has always said, I've said it on the podcast before, the team that gets the furthest in the Champions League is at the most disadvantage in the WSL. Also looking at the run-ins, that was really interesting. Chelsea have got Villa home, Liverpool away, Bristol home, Spurs away, Man United away. Man City have Liverpool away, West Ham home, Bristol away, Arsenal home, Villa away. So pretty similar kind of run-ins, but there are teams that can take points off them, especially how, you know, how West Ham have played. That won't be easy. Liverpool as well, Spurs. So it's going to go down to the wire. My money's still on Chelsea.
I think it's interesting as well that Gareth Taylor is the second longest serving WSL manager after Emma Hayes. And I feel like after last season, when Man City came fourth, there were a lot of people who were potentially questioning him, but the consistency has served him well, and the consistency has served Emma Hayes well. So I think that's an interesting trend. And also Man City have been runners up six times, so they will definitely want to make these results this season count. We'll have to see if your stubbornness was wise, Charlotte, but only time will tell. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Do check out Charlotte's My Game in My Words with Bunny Shaw on The Athletic. Next up, a huge result in German football.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Full Time Europe with Sophie Penny.
Bayern Munich pulled off a massive 4-0 win over their bitter rivals Wolfsburg in the Frauen-Bundesliga at the weekend, with goals from Pernille Harder, Jovana Damjanovic, Lea Schüller and Georgia Stanway.
Georgia Stanway, englische Nationalspielerin mit dem 4-0. Die viel zitierte Wachablösung.
The defending champions are now 7 points clear at the top with 5 games to go. The Athletic's Raphael Honigstein joins me now. Hello, Rafa.
Hello, Sophie.
Thanks for coming on the show again. Rafa, in this game, it was 0-0 at half time. Bayern actually only had 6 shots on target and 43% possession. And if you look at the XG, according to FV Ref, it was 1.4 for Wolfsburg and for Bayern as well. Despite it all, how did Bayern come away with such a big win?
I think, as you said, they rode their luck a little bit in the first half. It was quite an even game, not that much going on. But then they took that first real opportunity when Harder scored from the counter-attack. And of course, just a couple of minutes later, that corner that sneaked in from Clara Bühl. And I think that double, if you will, amount of goals in quick succession sort of shocked Wolfsburg a little bit. A Wolfsburg side, I think it's also important to say at this point, lost Marina Hegering at the back halfway through the first half of the season. And the longer the game went on, the more her absence, her authority, her experience seemed to count. And Bayern in the end just managed the game really well and scored 2 more goals. But it was one of those games where I think if Wolfsburg score first, it's a very different affair. But because Bayern took the lead and then almost immediately doubled it afterwards within 10 minutes, the game just kind of slipped away from Wolfsburg.
And Wolfsburg's Svendisjen Jonsdottir missed a big chance in the first half, didn't she? You sort of felt that, like you said, if she'd scored that, it could have been a different game entirely. But you talked about Wolfsburg's defence there and Marina Hegering. We have to give credit to Bayern's defence, don't we? They've just been amazing in this league. They've only conceded 5 goals this season in the league. We can give credit to the 4 goal scorers, but their defence deserves credit too, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Julia Gwynn being back to her very best after these injury problems as a right back is a big factor, because she is 2 players in 1 going forward, but also defensively so strong, so quick. Georgia Stanway and Zadra Zil is a really strong protective shield, if you will, for that back four. And yeah, there's quality all around, and Bayern have a really nice balance. They can ride out games, they can stay in the game and then find answers up front where there's so much quality, it's almost inevitable that they will score. They are just the best team, I think, in Germany. And that was yet another very strong, I think, statement and very strong way to underline their dominance.
Obviously, we do have to mention that Wolfsburg were missing one of their star strikers, Alexandra Popp. She was out with a knee injury. And I wonder if Wolfsburg are struggling for an identity or an attacking style when Popp isn't there.
I think that goes a little bit far. I mean, they have quality there as well. Jule Brandt is so strong on the wings, and her combination with the likes of Pio has paid off plenty of times when Alex Popp wasn't available. But I think overall, just Bayern seem to have both individually and collectively just a little bit more quality. And that was one thought crossed my mind throughout the game, which was, okay, Lena Oberdorf is still playing for Wolfsburg. I mean, what's going to happen next year when she moves across? I mean, will Bayern completely then annihilate their previous rivals? It's quite a scary prospect. And I think we're not far off from a scenario where people speak of the Bayern's women's team as being as dominant and sort of scarily in control as the men have been in the last decade.
And she'll help defensively as well, won't she? You already said that Georgia Stanway and Sarah Zadrazil are great in that defensive midfield role. imagine having Oberdorf there as well. It must have been odd for her playing against her future side. And we did have a chat, didn't we, on a previous podcast about Oberdorf signing for Bayern. So everyone should go and check that out. And on that podcast, we spoke about the fact that the tides are turning in German women's football. You know, this was Bayern's first win in Wolfsburg since 2008. 2008, that's a long time ago. It's the first time in 11 years that Wolfsburg have lost two consecutive Bundesliga matches. It seems like it was Wolfsburg's time. You know, over the last 11 seasons, Wolfsburg won seven titles, four in a row from 2016, but obviously Bayern won the last one. The tides are turning towards Bayern. How do Wolfsburg react to that, Rafa?
I think it's going to be difficult. I mean, Wolfsburg stole a march on a lot of the big German clubs by being the fastest, the quickest, the most determined to invest into women's football at a time when it just wasn't really on the agenda. And they took over from the old guard of the women's team, like Turbine Potsdam and these kind of sides who completely disappeared now that the blue chip teams from the men's side have gotten involved. And I think once sides like Bayern and Eintracht to a certain extent, Leverkusen as well, they started catching up, started taking women's football a lot more seriously. It's a question of money. It's a question of determination. Bayern have made the women's football one of their priorities. They've signed star players. They're spending a lot of money. The team are getting a lot of support, a lot of attention inside the club. And when the biggest club in German football, actually the biggest club full stop, if you look at the members that they have, the number of members, when they decide that they want to do something, the buy mentality is very much, let's not just try and win a couple of things, but let's go out and absolutely crush the opposition and win everything. And unfortunately for the domestic competition, that's exactly what Bayern are doing.
And they've set it up well for the Frauen Bundesliga, haven't they? As I said, 7 points clear, 5 games to go. If they want to win everything, they'll have to win the cup too. At the weekend, Bayern are playing Eintracht Frankfurt and Wolfsburg host SGS Essen. Is the double up for grabs for Bayern, Rafa, if they did win the Bundesliga?
I mean, Frankfurt is a tough opponent, but it would almost be a surprise looking at how well they played to not then see them lift the cup. They have to overcome that hoodoo that Wolfsburg seemed to have in the competition, positive one. They've won the last 9 and 47 games in a row of wins. So something quite historic will have to happen if indeed the two of them meet in the final on the 9th of May. But I think after that 4-0, which is sort of seen as a demonstration of real power in the German media, I think Bayern will not be afraid and indeed will be favourites to win their first ever double.
Well, best of luck to them in that. Those semi-final DFB Cup games are at the weekend. Thank you so much for joining me today, Danke, Rafa.
Thanks for having me.
It was also El Clásico at the weekend. Barcelona cruised to a 3-0 win over Real Madrid. One of those goals came from Frilina Rolfa, who the Athletic's Laia Cervejo Herrero spent time with as she recovered from a knee injury. You can read the full injury diary on The Athletic now, along with our full-time column and much more. It's just $1.99 a month for 12 months. Sign up at theathletic.com/WSL. Before you scroll onto another app or get on with your day, do take a second to hit follow on your podcast feed and leave us a rating and a review. We love reading them. And want us to answer one of your questions? Send them in to fte@theathletic.com on email or at TheAthleticFC on Twitter and Instagram. We're all ears. Vielen Dank, gracias, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Full Time Europe, part of the Athletic Football Podcast Network. The producer was Sophie Penny and the executive producer was Abby Patterson. To discover and listen to other great Athletic podcasts just like this one, including our brand new daily football briefing, search for The Athletic on Apple, Spotify and everywhere else you get your audio on demand.
The Athletic.